Listen with me as I read from Luke. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Well, where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. And he replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." And they left and found things just as Jesus had told them. And so they prepared for the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who's going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to him who betrays him." And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Norman Rockwell was probably one of the most famous painters of the 20th century. And his paintings were on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post for 46 years. And many of you are familiar with a lot of his paintings, and they a lot of them represent the ideal life, what the ideal life would look like. And one of those paintings, one of my favorites, is called Freedom from Want. And it's a beautiful picture, and it's the whole family has gathered at the grandparents' house. And in the picture, you see grandfather and grandmother are coming up to the table, and there's this the picture is the long shot of the table. And they're coming up to the table, and they've got the turkey in their hand. And you can almost, I mean, when you see his paintings, you almost feel like you're there. They're so realistic. They're so ideal. You can almost smell the food. You can almost hear the conversation that's going on. And they come up to the table with this huge turkey, and the table is all dressed with everything that it needs to be dressed with, all the fixings for dinner. And everybody along the sides of the table are engaged in conversation. And you can see them looking at each other, and they're leaned into each other, and people have smiles on their faces, and they're talking to each other. And when we see that, when I see that, I think of really almost what the ideal family experience would look like. You've got different generations of people, and they're all kind of, it's kind of that, the idea of that when you get together and everything, that the it's a homemade meal, and these recipes have been passed down from generation to generation with secret ingredients, and there's conversation and there's laughter, and no one's left out, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, everyone's in the conversation, and it's all going on at the same time. And it's almost as if when you see the picture that everybody knows what all the conversations are going on in the same room at the same time. And so all these people are brought together, and at the end of the meal and at the end of the day, everybody just kind of gathers together, and they bring out photo albums and they bring out pictures of vacations, and they look at them for like the 99th time together. And they still laugh, and they still share the same stories, and they still talk about family, and they talk about what's happened. It's a beautiful picture. Now, some of our lives don't necessarily look like that. A lot of our lives don't look like that. But whether your life looks like that, with all the generations and the laughter and the meals and the time spent together remembering and celebrating, whether your life looks like that frequently or rarely or almost never, the truth still is that we all have a desire to experience the oneness that comes from being a part of a family. The laughter and the conversation and the shared meals that come from being one part of this huge family. We all have that desire. And the same thing is true for the desire not only in our family at home, but our family as the family of God, as believers. Within us, people who know Christ, there is a desire to share that kind of experience with other believers. Not just sitting down to eat food, but that kind of experience where we share in conversation and we share in laughter and we share memories and we do life together. There's a desire to do that. And the early church did that. In Acts it says this, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. You know what that means? That's just what we just read about when Jesus got together with his disciples and he shared with them the bread and the cup. And later the first century Christians got together and they did that often. They shared together the breaking of the bread. We have in our homes, in almost every home, there are mementos. Now, mementos comes from the word memory. And mementos are those things like the heirlooms that have been passed down from someone else, maybe people that have already gone on, but they're yours and they're precious. They may not be valuable to anybody else, but to you they're priceless. It's those things you picked up when you went on vacation with your family. It's those things that, those knickknacks, you know, that really are worthless to other people, but they mean a lot to you because you remember things. They're the photo albums that wouldn't mean anything else to anybody else. I mean, if you saw somebody else's photo album in a yard sale, you probably wouldn't buy it, you know. But it's yours. If your house was on fire, it's probably the first thing you'd run back in after you got your family out to get, because it's priceless to you. You know, one of the things we do every year, you're probably the exact same way, is when we set up our Christmas tree and we've collected these ornaments from all these different places and all these different stages of life, and we put each one on, and you know, you talk about the story when you put that ornament on. You talk about where you got this, and you talk about how old your kids were. Just last night, Penny, my wife, she had a plastic container, and she was putting clothes in it. And I said, what clothes are you putting in there? They look like little clothes. She said, these are all the boys' uniforms from when they first started playing. She said, I've just been keeping them all together. So she started holding them up like that. She was holding up these little shirts, you know, and we were talking about the first team that one of our sons was on. We were talking about the first team that another was on and what that team was like and what they experienced. And so those things are important to us. We remember. And Jesus sat down with his followers and he gave them mementos. And he sat down with them and he said, I want to share with you this bread and this cup. 1 Corinthians says this, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me, when he talked about the bread. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. They're keepsakes to remember. And so when we take the bread in just a few minutes and we take the cup, I want to encourage you to take the mementos that Jesus has given us and remember. Remember what he's done in your life. Take a minute. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to give you time to take it at your own pleasure. And remember what he's done for you. Remember who he is. Open up the photo album of life with Jesus. And remember, you may be sitting there and you may say, I remember when he was there and he comforted me at the time that nobody else could comfort me. It was the month that I got my biopsy back. You may sit there and you may say, Jesus, I just want to thank you and I want to ask you to help me to always remember your sacrifice for me, your love for me. What we're going to do right now is we're going to sing a song just to kind of help prepare our hearts, just for you to get yourself ready as you get ready to take this bread and this cup. And in just a few minutes, we'll take the bread together, but we're going to sing together.
The measure you must take to crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, till the congregation's few didn't have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends, till you're broken for your sin, you can't be social. Seek the Lord and wait for what He has in store. Know that great is your reward, so just be hopeful, 'cause you can sing all you want. Yes, you can sing all you want to. Yes, sing all you want to. Don't get me wrong. Worship, it's more than a song. Take a break from all the plans that you have made. Sit home alone and wait for God to whisper. Beg and please to open up His mouth and speak. Pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine a light on every corner of your life until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Read the Word and put to test the things you heard, till your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want. Yes, you can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to. Don't get me wrong. Worship is more than a song. Worship is more than a song.
That are serving, please come on up. If you're serving this morning, just come on up. Let me encourage you, as we pass out the bread, we're just going to pass it down the rows, and we're going to sing a song as we pass the bread out, and you can sing, pray, remember, reflect, and then take the bread whenever you like. Thank you. Take this bread. We remember your body broken for us, and we remember who you are and what you've done, not only on the cross, but with every season of our lives. We praise you. Amen. Jesus gave us the memories of bread and the cup to remember his body and his blood. But for centuries, For centuries, the Jews celebrated the Passover. And if you remember the passage we read when we first stood up a while ago, it said that Jesus gathered his disciples together because they were going to celebrate. It was the day of unleavened bread, and they were going to celebrate the Passover. Well, Jews celebrate the Passover today. It's not a tradition that we often talk about. It's not a celebration that we know a whole lot about. But the Passover was the celebration of when the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, and God sent 9 plagues on the country of Egypt to try to convince Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, and he still wouldn't. His 10th plague was the death angel. And he sent the death angel, and he said that he instructed the children of Israel to kill a lamb and put the blood over the doorpost. And when the death angel came over, for every doorpost that was covered, the firstborn son of that home would be spared, but not for every other home in Egypt. And so it was that plague, that death of the firstborn, that, and for the children of Israel, the protection of the firstborn, that God delivered Israel out of Egypt. Now for the Jews, their remembrance of God's deliverance out of Egypt is in some ways very similar to my remembrance and your remembrance of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. When we placed our faith in Him and gave Him our life, He delivered us. He gave us freedom, and He delivered us from the control and the power of sin and Satan on our lives. And for the Jews, when they look back at that time, they remember the Passover. They remember when the death angel passed over, and they remember that sacrificial lamb. And so every year, Jews gather and they take part of the Passover. And many things happen. 2 things that happen is they partake of bread and they partake of the cup. And there's many different cups that they take in that celebration. And there's unleavened bread that they eat. The reason they eat unleavened bread was because they had to leave Egypt so fast. They didn't even get the bread time to rise. And so they took their bread and they left. And for all these years, they remember it by taking the bread and the cup. And so when Jesus got His disciples together to take the Passover, they knew all those symbols. They knew all those elements. They knew exactly what He was talking about. And so when they took the cup, and Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." This is a new covenant. Because, as the Scripture says, in the Old Testament, Luke says this, "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed." But listen in 1 Corinthians what Paul says. "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." At Passover, it was also used. "Today we celebrate the new covenant," Jesus says. What's the new covenant? The new covenant is this. Listen to the words of Jeremiah. "I will put my law in their minds and on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." That's what God said. Not only will it'll no longer just be a law that you have to know and live to the every detail, and that's how you, and there's not even forgiveness in that. There's no life in that. But one day there's going to come a day where I'm going to write my law on their hearts and in their minds, and I'll remember their sins no more. What was Jeremiah talking about? He was talking about Jesus. Now, I love to eat. You've heard me share probably every other week some food illustration, you know? I'm always talking about my love for food and eating with somebody and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason that I love to eat is not as much about the food as it is about what happens at the meal. It's about the conversation. It's about the sharing. It's about the laughter and the stories and the sharing of life with people when we get together around food. And I'm going to tell you something. We really lose a lot when most of our meals are spent in front of the TV, or we're so busy that we can't sit down together and share a meal. Around the world, in every culture, the meal that's shared together is important in fellowship and the sharing of life together. That's what Jesus is doing here. Do you remember what Jesus said in the passage that we read? He said this, Luke 22, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." What's He saying? Jesus knows that He's getting ready to experience suffering and aloneness. And what did He want to experience on His last night before He died? He wanted to share a meal together. He wanted to share a meal together so that he would know the encouragement and the love and the laughter and the conversation and the life that's shared with those people that he was the closest to. That's what he did. I had communion this week, but it was waffles and eggs, and it was at 9 o'clock, and it was at the Waffle House. Now, I didn't have juice and cup, and I didn't pause to remember the body and the blood of Jesus. I don't mean to slight that at all, but I want to tell you what happened. I got together with some other people, and we just shared for about 2 hours, and our conversation the whole time centered on what we had in common and our lives and our families, and we laughed and we told stories. And most of all, we talked about how good God was and what he had done and what he wanted to do in our lives. And we shared our struggles and we shared our successes. And that was communion. That was communion. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10, we're going to have it here on the screen for you. He says this: is not the cup of thanksgiving for which I give thanks a participation? Do you know what the word participation there means? The word participation is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ. We're getting ready to share that cup in a minute. We've just shared the bread. Participation means this. It means fellowship. It means fellowship. It means commonness. Now listen, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a fellowship in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation or fellowship in the body of Christ? Now listen to this last phrase. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of that one loaf. What's he saying? When you and I get together and we take this bread and we take this cup, we take part of a fellowship together. A fellowship together. We're in Christ, one body. And the reality is this. There is a perfect Norman Rockwell painting for the church. Not just for the Saturday Evening Post. And what that looks like is a body of Christ that gathers together, that shares the most intimate meal that can be shared, and they share conversation, and they share lives, and they share laughter, and they share stories, and they share about Jesus, and they talk about who he is and who he wants to be in our lives. And so as we take this cup and you remember the blood that Jesus shared for us, remember who he wants us to be and what he's done, who he wants us to be as a body. Remember this morning. Take this memento and remember. Remember what he's done in your life through the body. And think about who he wants you to be in the body. We're going to do that together as we sing. For those of you who are serving, you can come on up.